You got any?
Yeah. Any jokes? We need jokes more than drugs.
Okay, we're back on the air, and just a second, Bob. I'm going to get this caller on the line. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Greg. I just wanted to ask you if you could maybe turn the levels up on your callers. I'm having a little bit of a difficult time here.
Oh yeah, okay.
Contributing, and I just wanted to say great show, and I'll let you go on with things.
All right. Well, thank you.
Take care.
Yeah.
You know the word Schadenfreude, Greg?
Schadenfreude? No.
Yeah. Do you know? It's pleasure taken from observing the misery of another. Probably you oscillate, I don't know if the caller was suggesting this, you oscillate between genuine love of justice and enjoying the misery of others.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, it's Schadenfreude is the word.
Speaking of the genuine misery of others, I've got to go to another commercial break, believe it or not. So here we go again. I'm trying to keep up here.
We have all of these shady characters. We have corruption. I am begging you, sir. I'm begging you. Take it to you.
As a friend of mine would say, illogical. You're aware of the health risks, but you continue to smoke. Yes, quitting can be difficult. Hi, I'm Bill Shatner, and I want you to know, but now there's help. Now you can phone the Canadian Cancer Society's Smokers Helpline. Call toll-free 1-877-513-5333. It's a free service. It's your call.
It's time to play What's That Sound? Today's guest, Coach Mike Pinball Clemens of the Toronto Argonauts. Okay, Mike, for 10 points, what's this sound?
A train.
Correct. Now, this one.
A car whose driver was paying attention and stopped at a level crossing before the train went by.
Absolutely right. And the winner is...
the guy's family, Bob.
Good point, Mike. I'd like to thank our sponsors, this station and Operation Lifesaver.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, Anas is with us. Anas Abdullah Aziz is with us from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Hello, Anas. I haven't got you involved in the conversation very much. You've just been listening there and trying to capture what's happening, going on with the various people speaking. And I know it must be difficult because you're just new here. You're difficult with English. But now I was asking you, we just heard a clip from William Shatner, the smoking, where he was talking about not smoking. This one here.
As a friend of mine would say, illogical.
Now, that man's name is, he's a Canadian.
From Canada?
Yeah, from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Canada.
Yeah.
His name is William Shatner.
William Shatner,
right. Mm. And William Shatner was in Star Trek. Do you know Star Trek? They're in space. Space, the final frontier. They're in spaceships. And the man, he had pointy ears. Do you know that?
Uh-huh, I know.
Do you know that show?
Yeah.
Captain Kirk was the hero. You
know? I know, yeah.
That's William Shatner. William Shatner.
I know.
Did you like that show, Star Trek? Do you like space stuff? Do you like science fiction, things that happen in space?
Yeah, sometimes I like.
What's your favorite? What kind of movie like that do you like? What kind of movie would you like, a space movie?
I don't know, but I like movie, this is pretty funny. I like.
Funny?
Yeah.
Like who?
Yeah.
Like who? Who? What actor? American actor.
I don't
American.
His name.
Yes. But, you don't know his name?
I don't know.
I thought Will Smith. I thought you liked Will Smith.
Yeah.
You like him?
Yeah, I like.
Yeah. Who else? Jim Carrey?
Yeah, Jim Carrey. Sometimes.
You know him?
Yeah, I know.
So any other actor you know?
Cartoon? Or...
No, just any actor, movie.
Yeah.
What movie?
Sometimes Batman.
Batman.
You know?
Oh, which is your favorite Batman, the actor? Is it, who was the first? Oh, Michael Keaton was the first one.
Uh-huh.
Then Val Kilmer was the second Batman in the movies. Then George Clooney.
Uh-huh.
Do you know George Clooney?
I think this... George Clooney, this actor in Batman.
In Batman, yes. And then Then there's a new Batman, Christian Bale.
No, I don't know.
Don't know him.
Yeah.
Don't know him.
I don't know him.
Yeah. So you like Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah? Anas, so Anas likes Batman. He gives the... so anyway, he chime in anytime. Anytime you want. You want to say something. If you have a question, just chime in. Right, Bob?
Okay.
Like you do.
Yes, be polite, but jump in when you know you have an idea.
Right. Now, getting back to this Blagojevich.
Blago.
Blago. now, what happened here was that it all started with this strike at a window manufacturer, and it was involved in a window manufacturing, and the governor of Illinois, the day before these corruption charges, when he was arrested, the governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, who is a Serb of Serb descent, has spoken out, and he let everybody know that the state of Illinois was not going to do business with the Bank of America until they did their part to keep workers in the Republic Windows and Doors plant working, or at least to see that they got their severance pay and their vacation pay. And
that's something we stand for here at CKLN.
That's right. And now what happened was that the loans got pulled on the Republic Windows and Doors plant, and the Bank of America refused to extend any more money to the company. And now the reason Blagojevich got involved with the workers and against Bank of America was that Bank of America had received a $25 billion bailout from the Illinois government. So, and then they were pulling their funding or pulling their loans, and it meant that the workers didn't get paid their what they were owed. It just happened recently. It happened on December 2nd in the cafeteria of Republic Windows and Doors. A company official told the assembled workers that their plant on the city's north side, which had operated for more than four decades, would be closed in just 3 days. They had 3 days' notice. So people were, of course, shocked. Now, the factory's union leaders, though, they were on the ball. Several weeks before, they had noticed that the equipment had disappeared from the plant, and they began tracing it to a nearby rail yard. So they were doing some investigative journalism there, or investigative union work. So the union people, in secret, they were discussing a bold plan, and that was to occupy the factory if it closed. And they knew that this was illegal, but and all that they were looking for was 60 days of severance pay and earned vacation time. So by the time their six-day sit-in ended last Wednesday night, the 240 laid-off workers at this previously anonymous 125,000-square-foot plant, nobody had ever really thought much about Republic Windows and Doors or whatever it's called, they'd become national symbols of worker discontent amongst the layoffs that are sweeping the country now and will, I guess, continue to do that. And it worked. Late Wednesday, the two major banks agreed to lend the company enough money to give the workers what they asked for. And Armando Robles, a maintenance worker and president of Local 1110 of the United Electrical Radio and Machine Workers of America, which represented the workers... The radio, there's a radio union. Mm. In the environment of this economic crisis, we felt we were obligated to fight for our money. The reverberations of the workers' victory are likely to be felt for months as plants continue to close. But this is a major victory for workers. And if you combine some palpable street anger, says Bob Bruno, director of labor studies at University of Illinois, if you combine some palpable street anger with organizational resources in a changing political mood, you can begin to see more of these sort of riskier militant adventures, and they're more likely to succeed. So this is good news. But here's how Republic's owners, they quietly set up a new company, Echo Windows LLC. It was incorporated on November the 18th, according to records with the Illinois Secretary of State's office. And Echo had bought a window and door manufacturing plant in Red Oak, Iowa. Now, the company officials in Iowa declined to comment, but Mary Lou Friedman, the human resources manager at Echo, said in a telephone interview that the factory had 102 employees, all of them non-union. And at the last minute of negotiations, according to Representative Luis V. Gutierrez, Democrat of Illinois, who helped moderate talks to resolve the standoff, and union officials, Republic's chief executive, Richard Gilman, demanded that any new bank loan to help the employees would also have to cover the lease of his several cars, a 2007 BMW 350 XI and a 2002 Mercedes S500 are among those registered to company addresses, as well as 8 weeks of his salary at $225,000 a year. And that demand held up the settlement for some time. So now, in amongst all of this, so we now know that the workers were victorious in the sense of getting their 60 days of severance pay, and Bank of America had to back down. But the day before, Rod Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, was arrested, he went to meet with the workers, and here is what he said. If I can find that clip here. Here it is.
If anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously. And those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate. But I don't care whether you tape me privately or publicly. I can tell you that whatever I say is always lawful.
So Blagojevich was arrested the very next day and by the prosecutor. And here is what the prosecutor said. You heard this earlier in the little montage that I did, but it's worth repeating.
Governor Blagojevich has been arrested in the middle of what we could only describe as a political corruption crime spree. We acted to stop that crime spree.
And here is Jeffrey Toobin.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
I got something. I think Fitzgerald is working for Obama here because you don't stop a crime spree. You see where it spreads to see who's all involved. They stopped the crime spree because it was going to affect Obama.
Yes, and there are intersections with Obama, or not with him personally, but with the people around him, especially Rahm Emanuel. Just in the last few hours, stories come out that Emanuel was getting names of people to Blagojevich, and Jesse Jackson Jr. is severely affected by this too, because his name is wrapped up in the scandal. So, and it's hard to know which way that's going to go. I saw him on the television the other night, and he looks nervous. And
you know who the best commentator in all this stuff is?
Who?
And I was listening to it in New York occasionally. He's Rush Limbaugh. He is the best in these particular things. So you don't like him, I don't think so. But you ever listen?
I don't
to
listen to him.
I know you should. All the listeners should. He's very good at pointing out the hypocrisy of everything in the situation.
Well, except of the Republican people.
No, he goes into that too. He goes into that. Oh, well, he's glad that Bush and them got kicked out. He says now he can have his kind of Republican.
Well, here's
I made Greg laugh. Look at Greg laughing.
Well, here's my favorite commentator on CNN. It's Jeffrey Toobin, the lawyer.
Knowing that gets involved in two separate new scams, each more breathtaking than the next, to fire newspaper writers in return for government aid to the Tribune Company, and then, most incredible of all, essentially to sell Barack Obama's seat in the United States Senate. Well, I think astounding, breathtaking. It's hard to come up with the adjective that is sufficiently astonishing.
Yeah, he was describing the kind of reckless, brazen behavior that seemed to suggest that he thought he was above the law. He seemed to be acting. Again, these are allegations. We haven't heard from the defense, but Patrick Fitzgerald was describing a man who was acting like a manager who was trying to make numbers to get a bonus by the end of the year.
And the thing that is so incredible about this complaint is that it is full of quotations from wiretaps and bugs that make Blagojevich look like a deranged criminal. you would not believe it if you did not have the direct quotes, because you would say to yourself, come on, Nobody is that corrupt.
Right.
Nobody is that cynical. But the quotes are there, and we await Blagojevich's or his lawyer's explanation of why there's an innocent purpose.
Yeah,
and that's coming from a lawyer. No one is that cynical. No one is that corrupt. There's corruption all around us, and it's amazing that Tubin would as probably seeing and having heard of so much corruption in his life. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Just if anyone's interested, I have tapes of my conversations available for a fee.
All right. Okay. And do you think that they would show some criminal activity by any chance?
Well, you never know.
And what kind
of... don't listen to them.
What kind of fee would you be charging for that, just so that my audience knows?
It's a sliding scale.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like ones recorded at home or more or less or...
Probably less.
Like his conscience, a sliding signifier.
Do you give any free samples of these recordings? If you could, would you supply me with a sample of a sample recording and I could play it on the air and then we could say what a whole CD of that would really cost to get?
We can negotiate.
All right. Okay. When can we get into those negotiations? Right here, right now, or later?
No. Not in public, no.
All right.
That would be corruption.
All right. Well, I'll work with you on that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Greg, this Blago guy is like a Stalinist. This guy works with the people, with the workers. I mean, this guy is an interesting man. He's honest. He said, look, you guys are corrupt. You want something here, you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
The way it's been done for centuries.
Anas, what happened? What happened over there?
Remember, Obama's wife worked with Mayor Daley, the mafia and extremist.
What happened over there, Anas?
Oh, sorry.
What happened?
This microphone.
What happened to it?
Dropped.
It dropped.
Yeah.
It dropped on the floor.
Yeah.
It's not very secure, is it?
Why?
It's not very secure. It doesn't stay in there. You that's okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
That's good.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob. There was just a microphone dropping in here.
I was just saying that this Blago is a commendable person. He's very honest. He tells people, he says, look, I know you guys are corrupt. You're not helping my workers or anybody here, and you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, I wondered.
Meanwhile, he's out there trying to help this company.
Well, I wondered when he went against. When he went against the Bank of America, I thought, you just don't do that. The only person that I know that ever went against the Bank of America succeeded was you and Walt Disney. Walt Disney was so upset with the Bank of America in the late 50s because they tried to call his loan. They were on the verge of calling his loan on the entire company. The Bank of America wanted to take over Walt Disney Productions. And what they didn't know was Walt Disney had a secret slush fund of cash that he had diverted because of the opening of Disneyland, and all of a sudden he went in and he paid off the entire debt to the Bank of America, and because he knew that they were scheming against him, and then after that he didn't allow Bank of America to do business on any Disney theme park, and it's only during the Eisner era that Visa was allowed on the Disney park. If you went there in 1983 when the Disney family more or less controlled the park, long after Disney's death, you could not use a Visa card there because it was associated with the Bank of America. Mm. So Disney's the only person that I've ever known that really, in a business way, stood his ground and refused to do business with them. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Tell me, about 2.5-3 years ago, you did a show about happenings at one of your sister stations with Steve Reiner and those guys. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, when you think a show like that will be done by you about what's happening at your station?
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's stories everywhere. I did that about another station. Maybe someone else will have to do it. I mean, I have heard things. I have heard things on other stations about this station, and I listen to them, and they're just filled with lies.
Mm-hmm.
They're filled with half-truths, and you know, there's some accurate statements, and then whole made-up, fabricated lies. And you know, I suppose people listen to these shows and believe them. This is an example of when we see things or hear things on radio, it's very difficult to know whether what we're hearing is the truth, of course, because it's said from certain people's perspective. You have to kind of know that people who are doing the reporting are people who are distanced enough from the people who are involved not to be placating them or being playing favorites with them. So I have heard things from other stations. There's another station here in Toronto at the north end of the city that has done several programs about this station, and I've heard shows that have been done in Winnipeg, and the amount that the people who go on there, the spokespeople, are misinformed, aren't quite sure of the story themselves, but sound like they're very secure in it. I wish that I could be involved in those programs to counter them, but of course, and counter them not so much in the sense, I mean, make them accurate at least, because. In some people, in trying to make their points, they leave out important details that maybe would weaken their case.
Because it's their side of the story.
That's right, and they kind of forget the parts that maybe don't make them look good.
There was a story I have heard, which was the son, the Toronto Sun carried it. I heard there was a story about it in the Toronto Sun, but because I don't read that paper,
which paper are you talking about?
It was in the Toronto. A similar story about what's happening there at CKLN was run in the Toronto Sun.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You read a story created by journalists that have an evening to get material. They phone people up in the span of a couple of hours and bang together some piece.
Yeah.
A lot of when you see continuing stories about a particular issue, in-depth coverage about a given topic. I mean, you could be hearing a lot of nonsense as well, but in these glossed over stories where you're reading just, a 500 words about something, you're unlikely to really understand. You're hearing, I remember when we were removed from this station and there were articles done in the university press about our particular situation. And while they were, vaguely accurate, they left out really important details when you're involved in a situation, you're always thinking that the newspaper report should be better. But I was fairly realistic about it. I mean, sometimes you'd look at them and you go, well, that's about as good as you can expect from a 500 or 750-word essay about, a quick compilation of what happened. And
would you say in the affirmative that it has anything to do with the financial situation of the station, where certain changes have to be made in order for the station to be viable?
Well, let me tell you something, and I can speak. I'm going to speak accurately here. I personally have not seen an audited statement from this station. I actually had it in my hand, nor do I know it's been presented to anyone that I know of in years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I think we're supposed to get one every year. Now, so I'm talking about years. I'm not talking about just the last year or year and a half. I'm talking about years. In fact, I remember going to an annual general meeting here in 2006 when I was young and naive, and or middle-aged and naive, and I we were told there weren't any audited statements, and that they were looking for a bookkeeper. Now, I didn't, I thought, oh, well, all right, because I wasn't really that involved in looking at the bylaws. But now that I see the bylaws, it says that when you meet for an annual general meeting, the members are supposed to be shown an audited statement. Yet in 2006, there wasn't one.
That's standard procedure.
And I haven't seen, I haven't personally been presented with one. Now, I was protesting outside the 2007 AGM, so maybe people were presented with an audited statement there of some sort. I don't know that. If someone out there was at that gathering and has an audited statement, first of all, I'd like to know about it, and second of all, I'd like to get a copy of it. But so I think when there are so I can only speak from my own viewpoint that, and again, I may be speaking incorrectly, but I have not seen these audited statements for, and they haven't been around for years. So, There you have it. Okay. I mean, as to whether there's a financial problem or not, I can't speak to that. But all I can say is that I don't know how I would ever examine that, because I would think you would want to look at a balance sheet. And I mean, how many people even know how to look at a balance sheet?
Ins and outs.
I ran a company, and I had a hard time looking at the balance sheet that the accountant prepared for the company and understanding what was going on.
You pay a certified accountant to do it. But anyway, we are taking notes of folks, of fans in the public sphere here, and seeing what's happening over there, because it's getting into the disturbing phase.
Well, I think it's disturbing, maybe only because people are finding out about it. I don't understand why it wasn't. I mean, I personally blame myself for years ago not being disturbed by it in the 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why wasn't I disturbed about that? It's because I really am ashamed of myself for not being more on top of it. And
well, the caller, Greg, should be aware of the fact that CKLN, like the economy, doesn't run on money. That's what's important here. It's just keeping the air going, and any bureaucratic eye literacy accounting procedures is irrelevant to the acoustic effect of CKLN, just like news and information keeps the economy going. So let's remember that this is only a tiny part of the CKLN experience. Worrying about the bureaucracy behind the scenes.
I mean, most people in terms of the station are now, you know, who are listening are going, why is he talking about this? Why is the caller talking about this? We want to know more about the corruption of Blagojevich. You know, it's so people, for most people, the radio is just a thing you turn on and sound comes out of it. And you tune around until you find something that you like or you think is interesting, and walk around and pay sort of partial attention to it. Between no attention, where it's just background, to full attention, where you're really rapt as an audience, and you got everything in between. So,
CKLN is
My final point would be, I made that same observation with that Illinois governor as soon as he came out against Bank of America. I noticed, bam, 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 things started to act very fast, even though it was probably in the works. But I think, like everything else, there's a tipping point, and I think that was a tipping point against him, per se, when he went against Bank of
America.
America.
Yeah, it's. I think when you go against Bank of America, it's a big deal. And when you don't support Bank of America, yeah, you're even in deeper problems. Look at Blagojevich had given a 25... $25 billion? The state of Illinois had given $25 billion to bail out Bank of America. And in a sense, it was a very brave move of Blagojevich. I mean, maybe he knew. I don't know what he was thinking. But here we see a dichotomy, right? A guy who's going in and supporting the workers in a strike that really wasn't that well publicized. And his involvement in it made it more publicized. And then you had this Bank of America intersection. It's really interesting.
Where is the outrage when AIG gets a couple billion and they give themselves $1 billion bonus? You know, where's the outrage? I mean, to me, isn't that some kind of fraud? You know, and there's no outrage there. It's just, you just get the usual, I am shocked that they could do that. But how can you get money like that and you pay yourself before you start to deal with the business at hand? So there is corruption and fraud in all the levels, but it all depends on who is doing it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Let me see what the caller thinks of this. The Republicans say that they have ethics and morals, and everybody's outraged when they're caught contradicting those ethics. The Democrats never claim to have any ethics, and there shouldn't be any shock that they do this kind of thing because they never have a hypocritic problem.
You don't think so? The Democrats never... I mean, it depends which Democrats.
They never declare they have ethics or morals or anything. They don't think those are relevant. They just want to serve the people in their community. And so that's why there's something fishy about the whole thing about making a stink out of this Democratic governor about having no ethics. It doesn't apply to Democrats. It only applies to the Republicans.
Well, Obama comes from a state that's been involved with Al Capone and the Dailies, and even the Daily family's involved. The Bank of America's offer to lend the company roughly $1.35 million came on Tuesday.
And we're the experts on Chicago because we had on this show Sherman Skolnick every week.
Yeah, and
twice
he was
a week, and he was the one who busted many governors.
Yeah, he was
and judges.
Yeah, and additional help came from William M. Daley, the brother of Mayor Richard M. Daley of Chicago, and the Midwest chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase, which owned 40% of the window company, again, Republic Window and Door, and agreed to lend an additional $400,000.
Right, and who worked for Mayor Daley? Obama's wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He was a top person in that bureaucracy the last few years.
And just a few hours ago, Barack Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, communicated, this story, that he communicated with the office of Governor Rod R. Blagojevich about potential candidates for Mr. Obama's Senate seat, and provided a list of names, according to two Obama associates briefed on the matter. And they were all people associated with Obama, of course. Emanuel's list of possible candidates included a senior advisor to Mr. Obama, Valerie Jarrett, the Illinois Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, Representative Jan Schakowsky, and Dan Hines, the state comptroller. And Blagojevich was upset with Obama's group because they offered him appreciation and nothing else. But we can see.
It's like Obama just offers words and ideas. There's no point finding contradictions what Obama is going to say in this administration, because it's not what he says, it's how he says it. His resonant voice is what rules. And that's what he thought that Blago should appreciate, the resonant statement of, we appreciate you, Blago.
And what's amazing about this is that Blagojevich might be the next governor, a consecutive governor, to go to jail. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. You're on the air.
Yeah. I just knew somehow that this whole scandal, that you guys are going to find some way to bring Obama and Rahm Emanuel in it, man. You guys
are find a way to make Obama look good.
I'm not bringing Obama into this. There's no indication at the moment that Obama has been involved in this. It's that, but Rahm Emanuel was communicating with the governor. But I'm sure that many people were communicating with the governor's office. He was the governor of a major state in the United States. So, and one, of course, which Obama comes from. It's would be, I guess, natural that Obama would have. And his people, who largely are from that area, would have connections with Blagojevich, not only because they're from the same state, but they're from the same political party. So,
yes,
now,
Obama was a serious supporter of Blago when he was running for governor.
So, but whether Obama was involved in any evil doings there with Blagojevich, I've not seen any evidence of that at the moment.
He never will. Obama will be a successful president as long as he's there, because the image is necessary. They have to improve from the Bush era. America needs a positive image. That is what's going to keep the economy going. Another factor. So he's going to be considered the greatest president that ever happened. That's a done deal. Even though there is no Obama, he's just an image.
George Ryan was the previous governor of Illinois. He's in jail, yeah. He was a member of the Republican Party, and he was elected governor in 1998. He chose a female running mate, Lieutenant Governor, or they say Lieutenant Governor Corrine Wood. And I'm reading Ryan's his resume here, or his accomplishments as governor, and he seems like he was a very good one. One of Ryan's pet projects as governor was an extensive repair of the Illinois highway system. He also improved Illinois' technology infrastructure, creating one of the first cabinet-level offices of technology in the country. He committed a record funding to education, including 51% of all new state revenues during his time in office, in addition to the billions spent through Illinois First that built and improved schools and education infrastructure. Now, get this. This guy's a Republican. In 1999, Ryan sparked controversy by becoming the first sitting U.S. governor to meet with Cuban President Fidel Castro. Ryan's visit led to a $1 million donation of humanitarian aid, but drew criticism from anti-Castro groups for meeting with the, as they call him here, a dictator. I don't agree with that, but that's just me.
A lot of us don't agree with you.
I know.
A lot of us agree with you.
I know a lot of people. So
he's an oral man. He's a radio man.
Hold on. We've seen as I do. I have that here with me. I thought I had that clip. Oh, damn.
I thought I had that clip. You're not wrong to disagree with him being called a dictator.
No, I agree. I know I'm not wrong about that. So the other thing here that's amazing about Ryan, this man who is now languishing in a jail he'll be in there for at least the next 5 or 6 years, he gained national attention in the area of capital punishment. Now, normally we associate Republicans with wanting to kill people immediately as they're charged, but not Governor Ryan. He says. He declared a moratorium on the state's death penalty in 2000. Quote, "We have now freed more people than we have put to death under our system," he said. "There is a flaw in the system, without question, and it needs to be studied. At the time, Illinois had executed 12 people since the reinstitution of the death penalty in 1977, but was forced to release 13 people based on new evidence. Ryan called for a commission to study the issue while noting, quote, "I still believe the death penalty is a proper response to heinous crimes, but I want to make sure that the person who's put to death is absolutely guilty." I agree. I agree with him there. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Greg, good morning. Andy here.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
Not too bad, Greg. How are you doing up there?
I'm doing fine.
Listen, that Blagojevich fellow, we're just catching up from... Oh, good morning, Bob.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning to you.
Yeah, that Blagojevich fellow, we're catching up for him. You know, I've just been introduced to him through the TV and whatever. That, you know, I may be wrong, but this guy with his mop-top hair and a fresh young face, you know, I think he's the fifth Beatle. You know, that's the way he strikes me.
Yeah, he does look slick, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He looks like the fifth Beatle, perhaps separated at birth from Pete Best, who was the original drummer for the Beatles, and he left and went his own way. And this guy's got a kind of a mod kind of look to him. You say he's Serbian or something?
He is of Serbian origin, yes, or a Serbian descent. Andy, I'd like to introduce you to Anas Abdulaziz. Anas, say hello to Andy. This is Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Anas.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Yes, and you probably heard the announcement that I made, but Anas is from Saudi Arabia and from Riyadh.
Welcome aboard there. You're coming through loud and clear, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's been in... How long have you been in Canada now?
I think 2 months.
Staying in Canada,
yeah.
He's fresh.
I see.
Yeah.
is he getting up to pace with our snow? Is he getting up to pace with the climate?
Yeah, not bad. Very good snow.
It's okay with you? That's good.
Yeah.
Because it's going to look like hell from now on until about the end of April, so you better get used to it.
It's a little cold, though, don't you think?
Yeah, but different in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah?
Saudi Arabia, I think, pretty cold, 4 or 5 degree only.
Here, can you see your breath in Saudi Arabia? Like, Does it get that cold, can see your breath?
Yeah, you know what Andy's saying is when you're in Saudi Arabia and it gets cold,
yeah,
and you breathe, you go, oh, do you see your breath in front of you?
Sometimes morning.
Morning.
Early morning,
yeah.
Yeah, because that's a phenomenon that happens here in Ontario through the winter months. So
yeah.
don't feel awestruck if you happen to see your breath one morning. You don't have to go to an emergency or anything or, you know, walk in Toronto General and say, all of a sudden I saw my breath. No,
yeah,
everything's okay.
Andy says, if you see your breath, if you see it in front of you, and you see your breath, don't go to the hospital.
No.
Uh-huh. No
Everything
need.
Everything is okay.
Everything's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
You'll get through that.
Yeah. And maybe soon there will be much snow here, like sand. Like sand in the desert. There will be lots of snow.
Yes.
Are you looking? Do you want to see some snow?
Yeah.
Lots of snow?
Yeah.
Okay. So there he is. There's Anas, my special guest today from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, who's now residing.
That's a nice gesture to bring him on board here and, you know, listen to the audience, the callers who are calling in.
Yes.
And you know what I like about the callers who are calling in? You've not once given out the phone number of this morning, and yet callers will call in.
Yeah, please.
So that tells me the number's embedded in their minds, and they know where to call to reach the
Please give that number, Andy, would you please?
Yeah, that's at 416-595-1655.
Oh, you did that so well. You did that so well, Fast Eddie.
Thank you very much. We have dozens of operators standing by to take your important
calls.
Dozens.
Well, thanks a lot, Andy.
Yeah, like I thought it was. I just wanted to give a little overview on this Blagojevich Like, has he been tossed out of the...
No, he's hanging in there.
He's hanging in, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
he'll go down
praying.
With the ship.
They say he has a prayer breakfast every morning.
Oh,
is
really?
That right.
Is he Eastern Orthodox?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm.
Yep.
You know.
We'll
but
see.
To me, he looks like the fifth Beatle, you know, with
yeah,
that
he
mop
has a,
top.
He has an interesting look.
He does.
Yeah.
She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah,
Andy's
yeah.
singing
he looks
along.
A little off like a
bye,
mafia
bye
guy.
Andy. Bye, Andy.
He looks a little off like a mafia guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something a little bit funny, but yeah. Now, not only this Ryan, who's this? Getting back to George Ryan, the prior governor of Illinois.
There was a third governor before him.
Is he in jail, too?
Yeah, there was Ross Tinkowski. Everybody in Chicago politics usually gets in trouble.
So he ultimately, on January 11th, 2003, just days before leaving office, Ryan commuted to life terms the sentences of everyone on or waiting to be sent to Illinois' death row. Now, if only Mumia Abu-Jamal was in Illinois,
yeah,
then he would have been commuted, but no such luck for Mumia. A total of 167 convicts, due to his belief that the death penalty could not be administered fairly. He also pardoned four inmates.
Well, maybe he's not going to have a rough time in jail then. Maybe they respect him.
Maybe, maybe. And he was even nominated for the 2005 Nobel Peace Prize. So he ran into trouble, though, when there was when some children were killed. Six children were killed in a deadly crash in Wisconsin, in another state. And this led to a probe of unqualified truck drivers that obtained licenses through bribes. And it's very confusing. I've read it, and I don't even know whether I could explain it. But Ryan... The Patrick Fitzgerald, the same federal prosecutor that went after Blagojevich and arrested Blagojevich, said Mr. Ryan steered contracts worth millions of dollars to friends and took payments and vacations in return. When he was a sitting governor, he lied to the FBI about this conduct, and then he went out and did it again. See, people get – they just think they can do it. It's like Ryan seems like a decent person doing some decent things on the one hand, but he just needs to have some extra money here and there.
And how much will this story knock off the fact, off the covers, the front headlines, fun fraud hits big names?
Oh, well, and you're talking about Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, he made off with a lot of money.
Oh, you stole my gag there.
Oh,
damn. Well, yes, Bernie Madoff was running what he called a Ponzi scheme. I watched this program called American Greed. It's on CNBC. Poor Anas, he can't handle it with can't have the headphones on. Yeah. Oh,
hey,
oh there he is. There he is. What,
can
you
handle the?
You have to. You have to take your headphones off. It's too much. Is it too loud?
No,
it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wanted to put Anas in the other room, in the little booth, but he said he didn't want to be alone in there.
I went to stay with you.
He wanted to be in here with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you meet Anas?
Well, Anas is staying at Mary's house, and Mary takes in students that are need a place to stay when they're going to school. So Anas is one of many students that Mary, who's a friend of mine. Has taken in. So,
and what is she, community rep or something?
She is. She is now the one of the community reps of here at CKLN on the board of directors, just recently elected. So, and I believe that the first sitting meeting will be this Thursday at 8 p.m. here at the CKLN offices. So I invite all of you, everybody, to come to witness her debut on the...
That's a major impact. Now, these people are going to call in next week and complain or ask about secret history of CKLN. They need to go to this meeting.
That's right.
I think you should make that a proviso, that they can't bring up the topic next week unless they're at the meeting.
Yeah, this Thursday at 8 p.m. Now, I warn you that there are going to be aspects, evidently, of the meeting that are going to be in camera, which means that they happen in secret. There are things
that
must...
Well, that'll be the stuff discussing you.
Probably, yes. Yes. Isn't it always that way?
You're the main ghost hanging over the whole thing.
So, but anyway, this Thursday at 8 p.m., if you so wish to come down to 55 Gould Street here, there's a board meeting happening, and as far as I understand, they're public. Board meetings are public here at CKLN, and anybody from the public can come.
With Marion there for insider trading. This is a whole scandal up here.
Yeah, the wiretaps will begin now. It was terrible, terrible corruption. Bernie Madoff made off with a lot of money. perfectly.
He made off with a lot. Well, you have to realize, Greg, I'll let you say a few facts, but yeah. I'll just get to the point.
Yeah, go
this
ahead.
This guy is the king of the network I was part of. This is such an amazing and major linchpin to be knocked out. This is really big for the economy.
What, is this going to hurt you?
No. I'm on the other side.
All right, okay, good.
I mean, I'm through all that. I'm here in Maui. I'm here building the new world. We're watching the old world collapse, and it's a big old world that's going down, and this guy was a key member. He invented the derivatives computing technique.
Hey, you know, I think I have somebody on...
You know that, Greg? He invented the technology for allowing the derivatives virtual economy to happen 30 years ago.
Do you mean to do technological Ponzi schemes? You're on the air.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reasons why people hang up is because they hear something smarter than what they were going to say when they come out of
the
air.
Think?
And then they just run.
Do you know, I had an email from a listener who's called number six. I call him number six, like in the Prisoner TV show. That's an old reference, I know.
Yeah.
But Patrick McGoohan and so on. But he wrote to me and said, because we always say or are apt to say that we have five listeners. You know, I think that our listenership is very low, and I peg it at five. And one of them is here in the room with me right now, and you're on the phone, and Bob's here. You know, we're almost at the limit. But somebody wrote me and said that they're listener number six. They assured me of that, but they said that they didn't phone in because they didn't phone in because they were concerned that I'd go on a rant with them or something. That I'd find something offensive about what they'd said and start chewing them out, and that I was very combative and argumentative.
They think they'll be identified.
Yes. This person sends me an email saying that he wants to remain anonymous. You have no idea how many people write to me trying to be anonymous or being anonymous.
Well, that's why they're writing to you.
As if you can tell who somebody is on the radio.
Yeah, anyway, caller, go ahead.
I had a couple points. I was getting more of a Mickey Dolenz thing from the Monkees.
Oh, that's...
Blagojevich. That's closer, I think, than the Beatles.
That's good, yeah.
Also, I wanted to know if anybody else noticed that Patrick Fitzgerald, is that the same guy from Conrad Black?
Yeah.
That investigated...
I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah, he's the major guy. He's the guy who's going after everybody. He did the Ken Starr stuff and the... Libby Cheney's chief of staff, Libby.
He seems to enjoy the press conferences, I think.
He reminds me of an
actor from one of those late 60s, early 70s police FBI Mission Impossible shows where he's just there and he's just delivering his statements and his platitudes about these unscrupulous characters. So I just wanted to know if that jumped out to anybody else but me.
Well, read Tom Hennigan. Tom Hennigan exposes Fitzgerald as the creep that he is.
Okay.
I mean, you cannot be a moral person in Chicago, no matter what side you're on.
But you can't believe anything that Tom Hennigan says, right, Bob?
I can believe the details, but not the big picture. Details, he definitely gets sources. He definitely has good sources.
Also, Greg... I was listening to Norman Richmond yesterday, and
yes.
He said that he might not be back on the air.
Well,
so I think...
Who won't be back on the air?
Norman Otis Richmond. He does a show called Saturday Morning Live.
Well, how can that happen? He's as much of an institution as Ron Nelson, CKLN. He's not going anywhere.
And Ron Nelson has been gone for a few months, too.
Oh.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, oh, this is all big news. Yeah, big news. I did get a little bit of wind of it because of this. I heard this in the last week or so.
Michelle, please.
We're going to do a segment about Victoria's Secret. The 11th annual Victoria's Secret fashion show airs tomorrow night, but we know you've all had it on the calendar for months, right? First on CNBC, CEO Sharon Turney joins us from the new flagship store in Manhattan. Good to see you, Ms. Turney.
Oh, thank you so much. And we're so glad to be here at our new flagship store.
Who's your friend standing there? Who did the lovely tease
for
us?
This is Dotson. Datsun is one of our angels, and you'll be seeing her on the runway tomorrow night, and we're very excited to have Datsun with us today.
I'm very excited, too.
And so are we.
I heard
that... What has that got to do with Norm?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. They were talking about a flagship. Evidently, the show that...
He was CKLN's flagship.
Well, that evidently, I learned that that was the flagship show, and I didn't know whether we were a tug steamer or something, but... evidently, that's so. I don't.
He's gone.
I don't know. There's a lot of maybes being used. I know, like for instance, sometimes I get notes from the management saying if you unplug anything, you may be suspended. Your programming privilege may be taken away. But it doesn't say will be. So it suggests that if you unplug something, you're not quite sure what's going to happen. There seems to be. Some wiggle room that I don't understand what it is, but evidently it's very unclear whether it is, it isn't. I don't know. Well, we'll just have to find out, I guess.
You never know whether
we're going to be on until you get to the next week.
That's right. But Norm has a special relationship with the International Connection.
Yeah,
he was the only person who admitted to Bob Marshall that Bob Marshall's show was braver because he took on the Zionist lobby. Norm would not do that.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
And he commended Bob Marshall. And he also kept his distance because, for whatever reason,
well,
he
understandably, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Oh, great, Dave.
Hey, good. Dave. This is Anas Abdulaziz. Say hello to one of. This is one of our favorite callers.
Hi, Anas.
Hi.
Yeah. This
How
is
are you?
Dave.
I am fine.
This is Dave 2.
Dave 2.
Dave 2.
Are you related to Tariq Aziz?
What? Oh, are you related to Tariq Aziz, the man who worked with Saddam Hussein?
No, is my brother. No,
Tariq Aziz. No, not in Baghdad.
No.
It'd be okay if you were, you know.
Yeah, it's okay. We like him.
You can admit it if it's true.
Yeah, we like Tariq Aziz.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Dave. Good to have you back on Spelling 2 T-O-O.
Cool it, Bob. Can I do a shout-out, Greg?
Oh, please. Shout out all you wish.
big ups to Catherine, Mary, Roma, Melissa, and Danny. Hi, Danny.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'm sure they'll all be very appreciative of that.
Hi, Dan. It's Dave.
Yeah. And also you could include Tom and Ken.
Them too. And, Greg, you know, I'm all right, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, there's another line to that, eh?
What is it?
And my mother taught me.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm all right, Jack. Pull up the ladder.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, I think you'll find it there, but nobody uses that part of it.
No, they just like the I'm all right. I'm all right, Jack. And the movie.
Pull up the ladder.
Of the movie of the same name with Peter Sellers and
something like
others
that.
And Richard Attenborough and so on.
Do you know Jean-Pierre Perrault?
No.
He's an artist.
I am.
I think he died, but there was something on yesterday on CBC. It was moving. I found it moving, Greg.
You cried?
I did.
Oh. Yeah. Why was it moving?
Well, they had performers, humans on the stage performing.
Yeah.
And there were, one part, there were 10 men and 10 women, roughly, and they were reaching for each other because he can't remember when his mother hugged him.
Oh,
the
that's
people
sad.
People were running around trying to reach each other, but they couldn't quite... capture each other or touch them.
Oh, yeah, maybe we need to get involved in that. It's kind of sad, but maybe we can get together. Maybe we can reach each other and talk on a more human and tactile level.
And have some hugs.
Well, yes, but the tactile point, if you understand the gap, the non-contact, is a resonant living emotional discharge, then you wouldn't be so uptight about kinetic pressure contact.
Yeah, cool.
That's the whole message of the Mike Dyer show was that tactility is not the contact.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Thanks a lot for that. Thanks a lot for that meaningless material. Thank you very much. Anas, what did you think of what Bob just said there? Did you understand that?
Sometimes I understand.
Sometimes. A little.
Sometimes. Half of the words.
Yeah. You like the way...
The number of words understood in a Bob sentence.
Do you like the way Bob laughs? The way he laughs? You know, he goes, laugh, Bob. do you like that? Do you like that, Anas?
No, I don't like.
No, you don't like. It sounds... He's wincing. He goes, you don't like the way he laughs.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing and upsetting. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Many people have said
Three
that.
People.
Yeah, you're on the air.
This is Dave Four calling in.
Oh, Dave Four. Nice to hear from you.
Dave, I want to say hello to Dave One, who just hung up.
No, that was Dave Two.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave Two.
Yeah.
There's so many Daves.
Do you know, I actually saw Dave. I actually met with Dave One.
Yes,
In person.
The original.
Yeah, I met with Dave One in person on Bloor Street outside the Bloor Street Cinema because we'd gone to see the same free movie.
Very good.
And we had a little conversation, and he was bemused by the fact that there were so many Daves.
Does he ever call the station Dave One?
He does, but I think he doesn't want to call here anymore because I think he feels...
He'll be recognized. He thinks he'd be recognized.
Yeah, he
does
thinks...
Does he know there's a lot of reasonable facsimiles out there?
I think he does, yes.
Reasonable facsimiles?
Yes.
Listen, I want to concur with a caller before Dave, too, called in about Norman Otis Richmond.
Yes.
And I listened to him yesterday,
oh, you did.
Too. And he sounded like he was in the death throes of his show, Saturday Morning Live. It was near the end. He was using phrases like laid off by the station.
Mm.
You know, he's being laid off. I thought, is he a GM worker or something like that? No, he gets laid off. Not Ormus Rotors Richmond. You know?
Well, he's the only guy who gets paid, I think.
Well, the thing is that it's a little bit of a tough spot because, now, when they get rid of me, they just say, well, you're just a volunteer, yeah, and we can, and you're dispensable. But when you actually get paid to do your program, it gets into a rough spot when there isn't any money.
That's right.
Yeah,
and then you wonder, well, now, I know
that... I think it's horrible that he's laid off this close to the holiday season.
Here, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something interesting. I'll tell you something. I have a little experience with this. I have a little experience with this.
You know?
I have a little experience with this. I worked at the National Film Board about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And we were working on this movie, and all of a sudden they said, or not all of a sudden, they said, well, I think they extended the contract for a while, and then they said, no, we can't go any further. We've just got to end it right there. And there were a few scenes of this animated film that I still had to do, or that were still left over that I sort of started. And so I actually, I don't know why I did this, but I felt an attachment to my work that I actually went and did the work without getting paid.
That's commitment.
And I went and did it. And I handed the stuff in. And so...
Did they use it?
Yeah.
I don't think Norman's going to go down that road.
I don't know whether he even can.
He laid off on the station to all the Saturday Morning Live listeners who were quite upset with the announcement and filled up the caller board protesting this decision.
The thing is, with my situation with the National Film Board, they allowed me to work on it. I could take the, even though I couldn't work there for what they said were safety concerns or insurance concerns, that I couldn't work inside the National Film Board. I went and arranged with somebody to work at the Concordia. Concordia University has a little animation program. It was in the middle of the summer, and no one was there. And someone I knew there let me go in there and use the equipment. So, I mean, you have to have some kind of commitment from the employer, too. They have to say, oh, yeah, we'll allow you to do that and accept your work once you're finished. They can just say, okay, you're done, and off you go. So I don't know what the situation is.
Maybe we could offer a slot here on Interconnection and Norm. I mean, so to bring in the black community for our show.
Absolutely.
There is a sub-channel, you know. There's a sub-channel frequency that broadcast, that can broadcast simultaneously with special radios. You get special radios, and it can be all working on the sub-carrier frequency. So there could actually be two radio shows going out at the same time. On the same frequency. It's astounding. Astounding technology.
Greg, I got an idea. Why don't we offer Denise Benson, Dave Bernard, and the other 30 people laid off that they should be able to come and be part of our show?
And hang out with me.
Become the new community.
Well, and what about, like, contacts that Norman had, like Professor Gerald Horn? What's Gerald Horn going to do now?
He's getting laid off, too.
Is he getting laid off?
Yeah, he's getting laid off, too.
And what about my good friend?
I don't know. I'm being facetious.
I don't know.
I'm being facetious. I have... I I have, honestly, I have absolutely no information about this. What you're telling me is new to me. I don't know anything about this.
Greg, not just Gerald Horn, but what about that fella on death row?
Mumia, Abu, Jamal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Every Saturday, and he's on death row for prison radio. Like, is he up for the needle anytime soon?
I don't know.
That guy could be on a clock, and we're not going to get to hear him in his final days. I've been listening to him on death row for a number of years.
And he's got such a good speaking voice.
It's excellent. It's prison radio, and I like when I like when the jail cell slams shut after his broadcast.
Bang.
It's great.
I wish
The Modern Show is far-reaching.
It's very, when I hear Mumia Abu Jamal, I think, I wish I had a lovely speaking voice like that man.
Well, you got to be on death row to get it. Death row gives you a nice voice. Anyhow, we'll continue to, but it's true what the caller was saying.
Yeah. Oh, he's gone. Well, you know what that means.
Rebecca's here?
I don't know. I'm going to finish the show. I'm going to finish the show as normal.
Well, I think we should offer these people a steakhouse on our lot.
A steakhouse? You want to offer them a steakhouse?
Dave Bernard, Denise Benson, come over. We hands across the water. We welcome into our community.
Only if I get to ask them questions. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I just like to make one comment.
Please, go ahead.
Yes, one. Yes, one of your guests said you guys need to bring the black listeners to your radio.
Do you speak, is your original language Arabic?
No, how do you know that?
Because, I don't know, it just sounds... Anas, speak to this gentleman in Arabic.
No, I don't speak Arabic.
Come on, go. Speak. Anas, say hello to him in Arabic.
Hi, Greg.
No, say it in Arabic. Arabic, yeah.
Hello, Greg.
No, to this man, to this person on the phone.
Hello?
Listen, I don't speak Arabic.
Oh, come on. He doesn't want to speak?
You don't speak Arabic?
He speaks Arabic. Go and speak to him in Arabic. Say
no,
hello.
I think you know speak Arabic.
No, hit this guy on the phone. The guy on the phone. It's chaos here, I tell you.
Listen, I don't speak Arabic. As I said to you, maybe I know a few words Arabic, but my call is that, you know,
The black community.
You already have some listeners from the black community. So, what else do you want to this radio to be listening?
What? I don't. Hold on.
No, I said to him that I listen to your radio once a while. Every other Saturday.
Okay, hold. Just settle down, Bob. There, would you please? Just settle down. Now, caller, I want to understand. We're going. Okay, we just finished that show, The International Connection. We just finished that show, and now we're going into another show. We're going into. Hold on. I know Anas is just desperate to leave here. He's desperate to get out of this wretched place. So now, caller, I do want to understand what you're saying. So we've got the time now until such time as the next host comes into the station, if that indeed does happen. Please go ahead. Tell me what you're what you want to talk about.
Black community. No. Black community.
The black community. Yes. Yes.
That one of your guests. He likes to. No, what I said to you is that I would like to tell you that I'm you know, I don't know what your show is called. I'm just happened to listen your about last half an hour, and yes, it's a very interesting program you have. Even though you're talking about most of your program talk about Chicago, or because we're not in a Chicago, we are in Ontario.
I know. I'll tell you something. Just to inform you, this program, and I'm going to use this as an excuse right now.
Yes.
For this show only, this is a program called The International Connection.
Okay.
And
okay.
So there is a.
Since you have a guest from Saudi, why don't you talk about in Saudi Arabia what's happening in there?
Well,
why doesn't he give you some, politics going on in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I have
since
a.
You, since you have a special guest that probably he can give us some ideas about what's happening in Saudi Arabia.
Well, we've been on since 8:30. And indeed, I did introduce Anas Abdullah Aziz to these airwaves.
Tell him to give us whatever words that he knows about what's going on in Saudi Arabia and what is their politics, who's going to jail, which governor is going to jail, and if the princes or the king are going to jail for corruption. Can he tell us about what's going on in there? Saudi Arabia?
Are you from this country originally?
No, I'm not from. I'm from Toronto.
Okay, you're from Toronto. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So now, I mean, I could say that, all right, I'll give the excuse that Anas Abdullah Aziz is from Toronto because he lives here now.
For 2 months.
For 2 months. So he's from Toronto.
Yeah.
So he knows nothing about Saudi Arabia. He knows absolutely nothing about it. He's forgotten about it. In the 2 months he's been here, he's just completely forgotten about it.
I take your words. You know, if he doesn't know anything about what's happening in Saudi Arabia,
no, he doesn't. He doesn't remember. He would have known 2 months ago when he lived there. He would have known. But now that he's here, he's completely forgotten about it.
Okay, tell him in the future. We'd like to know what's happening in Saudi Arabia.
Well, if he can remember, we'll have to do a brain probe of him to pull that information out. Because, you know, when you're here for a while, you don't remember where you came from.
But I want to ask you question I want to ask you.
Yes.
How come you have about 5 Davids, you know, in your program?
That is an unusual thing. Well, some people's names, there was originally a... Here, I'll give you the... Here, I'll give you a little bit of history. We once had there was a listener to the station. He's still a listener to the station. His name is Dave, and he often phones in. And I'll give you an example of the type of call that usually would happen with Dave. Let's say
the guy who used to give you the weather.
No. This is what would happen. I'd be talking about some issue or another, and I'd give my opinion about it. And then the phone would ring, and it would be Dave, and Dave would say, Hi, Greg. This is Dave. And then hi, Greg. This is Dave. You know, I really agree with what you just said. And then he'd just go away.
Okay.
And so then other people phoned in. Oh, then Daniel started to do, my co-host started to do things about Dave, and then other people were Dave, and then we actually had people phone in whose name was actually Dave, and then the guy who does the traffic and weather would phone in and say he was Dave, and then we ended up with about 6 or 7 Daves. So
what happened to Daniel, the guy who was with you?
Daniel still works on the show. He just isn't in this morning.
Oh, okay.
All right, and I must go now because Rebecca is here with Colin Medley and their program, their fine program called Choice Cuts. Is that what it's called? Choice Cuts. That's what it's called, Choice Cuts. And here it is. What? So we're going now. I know it's a very startling and
great. And there was a guy on the chat portal saying I'm gay. Bob is gay. Roma says hi. And then so
oh,
I just announced,
all right.
Yes, I'm gay. I said,
okay.
No, I'm gay.
All right, here we go. This is it. Goodbye, everybody. Greg Duffel, Anas, Abdullah Aziz, and so on, and we're going to leave now, and just after this.
They were temporary.